In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. One of the great saints that we celebrate today is Saint Gregory of Nyssa. Not to be confused with Saint Gregory the Theologian or Saint Gregory the Great. But Saint Gregory of Nyssa was from a holy family. Among them, several saints, including his older brother, St. Basil the Great, and his older sister, St. Macrina the Younger. And St. Macrina, his sister, is the one that encouraged him and taught him to prefer the service of God to secular pursuits. And for that, we thank her. Now, St. Gregory, despite his inclination towards heavenly things, was a very well-educated and married priest. However, his wife passed away, and after this, he was made a bishop. He was a staunch opponent of Arianism, to the point that the Arian emperor, Valens, exiled him so that he wouldn't cause any more trouble for the Arians. When that emperor was no longer in power, he was recalled. Saint Gregory also attended the Second Ecumenical Council and contributed to the final part of our creed that concerns the Holy Spirit. Now, Saint Gregory, among many great saints, said that for truly barren is profane education, secular education. And this is an educated man. Truly barren is profane education, which is always in labor, but never gives birth. What a horrible image. Always in labor, but never gives birth. For what fruit worthy of such pangs does philosophy show for being so long in labor? And his point is this, that the constant debate of earthly things, he calls it full of wind, emptiness. That this constant debate of earthly things prevents us from seeing the light of the knowledge of God. Now, this light, this idea of light, is a common theme, especially in the feast that we've just celebrated, in the Nativity and Theophany of our Lord. It's everywhere. Even in today's gospel. Today's gospel speaks of Jesus, after John's arrest, going to live in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. That's a beautiful image. We also see this image of light incredibly strongly at the beginning of the gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Like when you're in a dark room, or maybe camping, and there's no moon, and you flip on the light switch or turn off on your flashlight. Is the light of that flashlight consumed by the darkness? No, it's the other way. The darkness flees. As soon as that light switch is turned on, it flees at the light. Now, brothers and sisters, we have so great a hope. So great a hope as one that banishes darkness with light. And this hope is Christ's resurrection. And with his resurrection, ours. For we have all sinned. And the result of that sin is death. We separate ourselves when we sin from God, who is the source of our life. but yet we have hope. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." The victory over sin and death has already been won. And next to this victory, all else pales in comparison. Nothing else matters in comparison. What greater victory is there? None. Everything else is temporary. This, brothers and sisters, as we sing in the Paschal Canon, this is our anchor of hope, the resurrection. And in this, we, the faithful, do rejoice. Yet when we place our hope elsewhere, we're going to be disappointed. God is our great hope. God is our light and our life. Still, many of us find ourselves mired in anxiety, in despair, in fear. And if not by our personal situation, if not by the politics of the day, if not by the sickness that surrounds us, then certainly by other people who are bothered by their personal situations, their politics, and their fear of being sick. We're covered in it. We're surrounded by it. And I'm reminded of the gospel account of St. Peter, all of the disciples in the boat, when they encounter Christ walking on the sea. And it just so happens that I was asked to bless an icon on the altar of this account. So I don't usually do visual aids. But we have St. Peter coming out to meet Christ walking on the sea. And this is just such a beautiful illustration of the spiritual life, and I think of where many of us find ourselves today. The disciples were out on this boat, and a great storm surrounded them. Waves crashing on all sides. Now, these were big waves. They were afraid that their boat was going to sink. And then to add to this fear, they see someone out in the distance walking in the water, and they think it's an apparition, a ghost or something. And so St. Peter calls out, "Lord, if that is you, bid me to come walk on the water and meet you." And so he does. He steps out into the water and walks, just as Christ was, with all of the waves still crashing all around him. The storm had not stopped. And yet, the storm that threatened to sink their boat is not preventing Peter from coming out to meet his Lord. At least not at first. For that first time, Peter's gaze is fixed on Christ. But at the moment that he changes and switches his gaze to the waves, to the storm around him, the moment he shifts his focus to the tumultuous everything around him, he begins to sink. Until he cries out, "Lord, help me," once again. And Christ reaches out and picks him up in the midst of the storm. Brothers and sisters, and I accuse myself of this, it is so easy to be so focused on everything else that's happening around us that we end up turning our gaze away from Christ. We turn our focus away from Christ, and at some points, we even walk away from Christ. We begin to sink. We turn away from that life, that light, and we begin to be engulfed in darkness. Now, just because we turn away from the light does not mean that the light shines any less brightly. It's still waiting there for us to return to it. So, brothers and sisters, let us seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, the things that are needed, that God knows we need, will be added. We have no need to seek anything else. God will provide what is necessary for us, for our salvation. And returning to today's gospel, we hear that Jesus begins to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The time of earthly and temporal pursuits is past. We must return our focus to the kingdom. This is not some future reality, something that we are waiting for. It is at hand, here, now. We have entered into it. And the priest reminds us at the beginning of every liturgy, when he lifts up the gospel and exclaims, "Blessed is the kingdom," he reminds us that this is exactly what we have entered into the heavenly worship. So let us place our hope not in governments or vaccines, but in the King of Kings and the physician of our souls and bodies. And let us place our hope not in this new year, which so far has not proved to be so great, but in the one who makes all things new. To the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.